Hi, I'm Adrian. And right this moment, there are tens of thousands of Black entrepreneurs around the world creating amazing startups that you've never heard about. For some reason, the mainstream media doesn't cover Black entrepreneurs as much as it should. But on this show, we find these amazing founders. We sit down with them. We figure out how they got their ideas launched, what their struggles were, what they're afraid of, what drives them. My hope is that you have enough firepower from listening to this show to go out there and start your own business. Or if you're working on something, continue plowing through it. Let's have an amazing time together. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Samela. How's it going?
How are you?
Not too bad. How's everything out there in Miami?
Everything is great. The weather's beautiful, so that's a good thing.
Yeah. We had a little bit of a, I would say, a cold front come through South Florida, and everybody's wearing the thickest coats you can find.
Right. That's the funniest thing ever.
Like all the New Yorkers that moved down here decided that, you know what, man, we've been tired of looking at these coats in the closet all year long. They're coming out.
I mean, I like this time because I can wear a sweater or a scarf or something, but I'm not like a true Floridian where I'm like freezing and it's, oh my goodness, it's so cold.
Right, I feel so bad. I overheard some ladies, you know, just complaining. I'm just like, I love this weather. Mm-hmm. So that's I guess different strokes for different folks.
Absolutely.
So you recently got featured in the innovationsoftheworld.com Miami edition for your app or platform, I would say rather, called My Cierge. What is that?
What is the Innovate Miami, or what are we doing over at My Cierge?
What are you doing over at My Cierge, your app?
So My Cierge was created to help those who manage like travelers and guests. So we focus specifically on the vacation rental space. So that would be like a property manager or a host. And what we do, we partner with them and kind of get all of their information about their units and customize it based on location and the things that they want to share with the guests and allow them to kind of offer this digital guest experience book. Where the guests can do and see all the things that they need while traveling. And so the app is on iOS and Android. And of course, it works with hotels. It can absolutely work with hotels because that's why I originally built it. But we recently made the pivot to focus on the vacation rental market.
Okay. So how I understand this is that if I own an Airbnb, for example, or I have a vacation rental home, so I sign up to My Cierge and I create an experience for my guests where they come on and on the app, they have restaurants they can visit around. You know, what exactly do they have available on there and why does it enhance their experience?
So it starts with everything from like your house rules, right? Because anytime, I don't know if you've ever, but if you book on, for example, Airbnb, they have like house rules, amenities, host information. So all of those things are put in there for your unit. And then what we do is we take a look around your property in terms of the location. So what is a favorite coffee shop near you? What do you recommend your guests go, your favorite bike ride? And so we kind of tailor it based on the property manager or the host knowing the area best. And the idea is to kind of give this more tailored experience. So, and it's coming from like a credible local source. And so now these travelers can feel like their experience in your area, your unit, your city is if they were a local.
So in a sense, it's a bit like a digital tour guide, right? That you as a host will just program into the app.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. That's why I said it's because we want to make sure that the guest experience is, you know, taken care of. And that's really one of the more important parts that sometimes people tend to miss. So we partner with the host from kind of like the pre-arrival process until departure. And so that's when we see the guests have their needs and have questions and things of that sort.
Okay, so a lot of startups are born out of some need, some market need that says, you know, the market wants this that doesn't exist right now. And as a founder, you say, okay, well, I'm going to be the one to solve that problem, to actually solve that pain point of the user. What is the typical MyCRG's user's problem? From the standpoint of the host and from the guest, where's the disconnect right now? For example, where's Airbnb falling short that MyCRG is now picking up the slack?
So I'm going to answer that in kind of like a two-layered. Originally, when I started building MyCRG, I worked in the hotel industry. So I've seen how things fell through the cracks, right? So information can just literally be missed just because of human error. And opportunities are missed to take an experience from being okay to making it great. And so that's where I originally built from, understanding both the employee side and then the guest experience side. So making the pivot to the vacation rental space, what we're seeing is that the property managers and the hosts themselves don't really know what each guest needs or wants, right? And they don't know how to kind of offer a one for all type of customer service. So what we're doing is giving them something that they can moreover ask the questions or present them with options, and then they can make themselves easily accessible to the guests once they say, well, this is what I need and I want. And then now the property manager can kind of go off of that guest needs versus just trying to be a good guest that fits everybody's travel habits.
Okay. And
You go ahead. And then from the guest side, guests generally want everything on demand, right? So that's the original idea, is to put everything on demand and have it easily accessible. But then because you have this thing, like you have a DIY, like, oh, I can Google it myself, I'll find it myself, traveler. And then you have the one who's like, how do you do this? Where should I go? What should I do? How should I, you know? And so by putting everything in one platform, they have access to it. And then the host themselves can easily chat with the guests if they have more questions or something that they're looking for that's not already within the app.
Okay. And with regards to getting users on the app, so it sounds to me like the property owner or the rental property owner is the primary user. They're the ones that eventually will come to you and say, okay, sign me up on this platform. In a sense that's a travel management system, as you describe it. And then whenever they get a guest, they will then send some sort of link to this guest, say, hey, sign up on this platform where we can create your experience. But where are the guests coming from? Are they coming from other sources? Do you have a channel where you can actually get guests into these properties? Or do they have to go source their guests from external sources?
So the guests would come from whomever the actual vacation rental company uses to book their original stays. So multiple property managers typically list their unit on all platforms such as Airbnb, vacation rental by owners, like it's a bunch of them, and they can actually booking.com, Expedia, and they can list their unit, that same exact unit, on multiple booking platforms. So that's where the guests are sourced from a vacation rental standpoint. Yes, the vacation rental property manager is my customer. And they would want to have to offer these services, right? They would want to have to care about the guest experience in order to sign up for something like MyCRG. But once that is an interest of theirs, it kind of streamlines their engagement with the guests. And it works great for like remote property managers, right? Because you send them a link, you give them the door access, and then now they have access to everything. And now you don't feel like they're going without anything because you're just like a chat away, I would say. But the customer is my end user, right? So they have to be intrigued enough to want to use the app, want to ask questions, or want to know where these things are. So it's kind of like a twofold. We are B2B, but to C is also a very interesting point for us because they are our end user.
Is there, if I'm a guest, right, and I signed up to book someone's property and they send me a My Sears link, I sign up. Is there any way for me to ask questions to a previous guest? Is there any way for me to contact a previous guest to get recommendations of some sort?
No, so we don't have it where it's connected from previous guests, but we do currently have reviews, but that's more like an internal thing, meaning for the property manager, they can know how their team did or what the guests had to say about the experience. But we currently don't have anything where kind of like a peer-to-peer review system. We don't have anything of that sort thus far, but who knows, you know, the future, what the future may hold.
Okay. Well, you've been in the hotel and tourism industry for, you know, the better part of the last decade or so. Mm-hmm. And now you are a tech founder. You don't have a background in computer programming or app development, you know, so take me back to the start, you know, so you have this idea, you've established that, hey, that there's a market need for a product like this. I'm sure you go out there, do your homework, and you probably didn't find anything that fits exactly what you're thinking of. So what was the first step? You know, how do you go from, you know, working in the hotel industry to saying, okay, now I'm ready to be a tech founder? You know, what's the first step that you took to actually make the leap into that?
So that's very, it's a very interesting story. So I was in a place where I wasn't really happy with the job that I was sitting in at the moment. And I just felt like, okay, well, what are you going to do? You know, what's next? And that's how my CRH came to me. But the process of actually going about even knowing how to create, build, structure, anything, I was totally new. I don't come from a family of founders or anything. And when I started my research, so I started just kind of like understanding what customers are saying, what the market is saying. And at the time it was hotel industry, and how to go about building an app, right? So it was just very general research. I just consumed myself in it and then consumed myself in the idea of what I wanted my CRH to look like. But once I felt confident enough, I began asking anybody who would talk to me, honestly, do you know anyone that programs? Do you know anyone that codes? You know, and so after asking a bunch of people, one guy who worked with me, he said, oh, I do know someone, and he actually works across the street. And so my now co-founder and CTO, we literally worked across the street from each other for years. And we both work in the hotel industry. So I went over to him and we literally talked for like 2 hours. And from that point on, he's been nothing but a blessing. Like he gets my vision. He translated in the tech side. I may come with some crazy ideas. He's like, yeah, okay, I think I could get it done. And then, you know, we've been at this, we bootstrapped. And so it took us a little bit longer to get an MVP. What we did was built out the entire platform instead of just building like one version of it. So it's a 3-part platform. It's a guest app, a staff app, and a dashboard. And so we went right to work, you know, and we were still with our full-time jobs and we were working at overnight at the time. And we just made it happen. And then I continued to make sure that I understood what becoming a founder looks like, how it works, kind of the steps of, you know, from building something to letting people know that you're building something. And yeah, every day I'm learning something new.
So with regards to co-founders and technical founders, non-technical founders, and looking for someone to help you build your product. Probably one of the hardest things to do as a non-technical founder is to actually convince someone who has these skills to join you and sell your vision to them and actually get them on board where they're actually committed to helping you write a bunch of code where you're not funded. They have mm-hmm. to spend, you know, crazy amounts of time away from their families and friends building this product with you. And it sounds like you just walked into that. You know, it's like most non-technical founders would be at this for months. You know, it's like, you know, looking for the holy grail of the CTO that will help you, you know, mm-hmm. what do you say to him, right? Or her, I'm not too sure, but, mm-hmm. you know, what did you say? I mean, how do you convince someone to join you, right? You know, how do you do that? Because I want to know, right?
So, to be totally honest, when we first started out, meaning like the very initial conversation, of course, I was kind of like weeding through how much to tell him, how much not to tell him, because he said, okay, I think I understand what you want. I'll get you a demo. So at the very beginning, we agreed that he would be a contractor and he would just build the app for a nice amount of money and that would just go about our business, you know, and separate. But then he said, and he told me this like later down the road, to be honest with you, I had no idea why he said yes once I offered it, but he told me this later down the road. He says he's owned a few businesses himself, but he was not as educated in the entrepreneurial space as I am. And he said it was just something about like the drive and your personality that I believe that you can actually run a company. And so I'm here and let's do it together. So I found that out later on, but that's what convinced him. I didn't have to convince him. I guess maybe he's seen just like my work ethic and was just like, okay, let's do it.
Well, that's amazing because that's one of the hardest things to do. So you guys agree on building this platform together. And I'm assuming that the first thing you did was you said like you got right to work and you started, you know, coding and mapping out how this thing is going to work. During that phase, what comes next?
So not only are we building this company together and figuring out these things, but we're building our relationship as well because we didn't have a pre-existing relationship. So we're getting to understand each other, how we talk, what we need. So of course we were pouring into this cup, you know, that we see is going to be beneficial to the both of us. So we're just working, you know, trying to keep each other on pace, very, very new to the whole concept of building anything. And we just, you know, and while he's coding, and building from doing everything from a technical side, I am understanding the operational side of it. So I was going back and forth between like going to networking events, reading articles, getting books, thinking about investments and what that looks like and what that even means, knocking on doors to try to get customers, you know, so we were definitely busy and we kept in contact often, but for the most part, we had our heads down and we were just working, to be honest with you.
And this has been going on for how long? When did you start this platform?
So I established like the name MyCRH in 2017 when I was like, okay, I think I'm going to do it. But then we launched, meaning went live. This is 2019. I'm going to say it's been about a little over a year. Yeah, a little over a year that we've had the platform fully developed and ready because we didn't have, again, we bootstrapped and we were still figuring it out. So we didn't put like a must be done by this. We were more just kind of like, what are we doing? What do we want to do? Wait, no, we don't want to do that anymore. Let's do this. So yeah, it's been a little over a year for sure.
And you talk a lot about bootstrapping. And I think that for folks that might not understand that term, it's simply when you use your own money that's coming out of your own pocket to build mm-hmm. to build your product. And you might not necessarily be making money as of yet. Mm-hmm. Apps are not cheap. Mm-hmm. You know, you have a CTO and a co-founder, which is amazing, especially a technical one. And you're able to cut a lot of that cost down, but you still post in, you've got to spend money on marketing and PR and all this other stuff. Did you save up for that before you got into it? You know, what has that process been like? I know a lot of founders look to friends and family for their initial, you know, get me off the ground type of money. But, you know, what was that journey like for you?
So, again, as I said before, I didn't really know exactly what I was jumping into. I was just really excited about, you know, starting something that I was passionate about and that I, at the time, felt like, yes, I really know this market. I know what's going on. And so I just jumped kind of in, and I didn't necessarily save up for it because I didn't know that I was going to be a founder, right? I didn't know I was going to start my own company. That was, I feel like I tell people all the time, that was like a gift that was given to me. And so it was kind of like, oh, okay, I'm going to do it. And so going to work, I would just say, okay, well, this is the money, you know, literally transfer from Samela's account to the My Sierra account to pay for whatever needed to be paid for at any given time, whether it was a conference or literally just networking events or hosting, as you said. We use a few software companies to help us get everything done, domain, trademark, things of that sort. It would just be me putting money in the account, you know, and making sure that it happened. We did earlier this year do a friends and family round, but it was really like, it was just under 10K. So it's not, you know, honestly, it wasn't a huge round at all. And so that, but that did absolutely help us out, you know, and it kind of pushed us a little bit further than what we were. But it was just something that I was committed to. And since I loved it and I was excited about it, how am I going to pay for this? I have no clue what I'm doing. That never really, to be honest with you, sunk in or got in the way of me continuing to move forward because I didn't even think about it. It was just something that I felt really blessed to be able to produce.
So you're spending all this money, right? At this point, you know, you've done a friends and family round, which is going up to family and asking them for money, which is quite a hard thing to do. So you have to really be sure about what you're up to, because you definitely don't want to lose family money. And you know, you're spending your own money out of pocket. You're still working full time, getting all this done. What makes you believe that you're onto something? You know, do you have users right now? Is it, you know, is the market pulling this app, you know, into oblivion? You know, what makes you trust that, hey, you know what, I'm onto something here and I'm going to pour everything into this and just go for it?
So it stems back to my days of working in the hotel and understanding that generally the guest gets what they want, and the easier that you could provide it to them, the better. And so at the moment, I did partner with a hotel, and that was right before I made the pivot because it was a different type of thought process coming from a hotel standpoint than I believe it will be for vacation rental companies. And so I feel like I'm onto something based on my experience in the industry and knowing that the experiential travel market is huge, right? So it's kind of underrated because you can't physically touch how you make someone feel. You can't really, it's like, how do you measure it and how do you know that it's important? But when you see people, when you see facts like people spend more money on cultural tours and excursions than they do like wanting to go and buy a house or, you know, having kids and things of that sort, that type of information allows me to understand, okay, you're going in the right direction with providing experiences and making them easily accessible. But then also about 80% of experience providers are offline, which means you can't really book this excursion until you get there because that person who's offering that excursion might not have a website, might not have, you know, a link that you can click. So it's kind of a two-sided thing. If I can help those experience providers who's doing amazing things and taking tourism and been holding tourism down for a while, take those folks and put them online, and while giving the people who love to come, for example, to Miami, these experiences and making it easily accessible, to me, that seems like a win. Of course, it's not an easy win, but that is something that I've seen happen, you know, and something that I believe in. And now with the vacation rental market being new and not having a leader in my particular space, that gives me more confidence to understand that I have a chance to create and develop something that can really, you know, make a splash.
So it sounds like Miami is the primary market right now. Are you looking to expand this to other cities?
I absolutely love the Caribbean, and I want to focus on the Caribbean as well. It's like I would say my backyard, and I feel like there's a lot of offline excursion providers there as well, and villa companies is pretty prevalent. And so that is a focus of mine as well.
Okay. And is there a timeline to that, or is it, just, dominate the market in Miami first, leave no space for any other competitor that might pop up and then start dominating other, or are you going to launch in different markets? And 'cause you might find that, different cities might catch on at faster rates. What's your plan to explore? I know you want the Caribbean for sure, but how do you explore other cities? How do you explore New York? How do you go to Chicago? What's the plan around that?
So that goes back to, again, me knowing that I just don't know everything, to be totally honest and transparent. And so marketing is where I am finding that I myself, Samela, needs further education, I would say, or learn more on. And so I am partnering with my mentor to get better insight on how to grow within markets. So right now, we're focusing on the connections that we have. I lived in St. John for about a year and a half, which is the US Virgin Islands. So we're focusing on the connections that we have both here in South Florida, as well as I said before, the Caribbean. And what I want to do is make sure that what I have is something that the users, both the vacation rental and the guests, love and feel like they need. And then once that for sure happens, because I can honestly say I don't believe I found my product market fit yet, to be totally honest. And so once that happens, then I will dig deeper into how to just grow this thing. And like you said, leave no space for my competitors. But right now, we are in the process of ironing out those details in terms of expansion and pulling into growth further.
So one key thing that you said there is product market fit, which seems at this point in a founder's journey is like the holy grail, right? It's like everybody's looking for product market fit, and only about 20% of startups will ever get to that point. And for anyone who's wondering what that is, when you have product market fit, you have money in the bank coming from your users. Let's just put it like that. But you mentioned that you have a mentor. And I know a lot of startup founders go through accelerators. Did you go through one? Did you go through an incubator to just formalize this process? Because there's a lot going on in your head right now, I'm sure. Who's what, how did you find a mentor?
So, what one thing I noticed, learned about myself along this process is that I've been really resourceful, right? So if I don't know, I can get to Google, and somebody on there knows something, so it points me in the right direction. And so I started at the Small Business Development Center for Miami, and they just asked like a few questions, kind of understanding where you are, what you need. And then they partnered me with a mentor that can help me understand and dig a little deeper on my concerns. But also in this process, I've come across some really amazing people. They may not know that. I believe they know because when I call them, I'm like, hey, what should I do? How should I do it? They may not know that they're like a advisor of mine, but they are the advisor of mine. And while I haven't formally created an advisory board, I do have people that I admire, whether it's based on the industry and I know nothing about them, or I know them personally and I've seen how they've grown and developed their own businesses. So that's also, something that I'm looking to formalize my advisory board. But in terms of mentors, as I said before, I went to the Small Business Center and they were able to partner me with someone. And as my relationships continue to grow with others in the industry or tech, then I'm sure that list will, get a little bit bigger.
So all this sounds to me like a tremendous amount of work, right? It's just a tremendous amount of commitment and a tremendous amount of time as well spent and sacrifice. So you must be going after a pretty huge market size right now. You know, what is that market size when it comes to the experiential rental market? You know, how much are we talking about here? If my Cierge becomes the market king in this category, you know, what's your market cap like?
So, just to kind of clarify, I use host and property manager very loosely, but they're very, they're two different types of short-term rental options. So a host would be maybe someone who owns one unit and they post it on Airbnb. Whereas a property manager and a vacation rental company, they are more along the lines of a professional listing and they want to offer, they're like a managed service. And so those are my actual customers, vacation rental companies that manage multiple units. And so it's, to be totally honest, the market is huge and it's continuing to grow. But as of 2018, there were 23,000 vacation rental companies. And of course, they can own anywhere from, the average is usually about, we'll say like 60 units per vacation rental company. And so we're upwards, like once we do the math and, you know, because we would charge per unit per month. We're easily in a $125 billion market.
And this is just Miami?
No. This is the U.S.
Okay.
This is a fascination. Europe has 60% of the vacation rental market, while the U.S. only has about 20% of the vacation rental market. So what I'm doing and where I'm, we're pretty much we're behind. I would say the U.S. is when it comes to all things vacation rental. So you'll see all these new type of services tailored to the vacation rental market popping up. And it's still very early. Like it's like kind of anyone's game.
So it sounds to me like, you know, there's a huge market opportunity here for sure. Is it something that you can bootstrap to success? I know a lot of, I would say, Black founders, you know, don't get funded. Right. You know, the number is less than 1% of all venture capital money doesn't come to us. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's the harsh reality. So 1 out of 100 people could potentially be funded. Right. And all these companies could be great companies. Right. They have potential. Mm-hmm. They're going after huge markets like yours. So what happens if you don't get funded? You know, is it possible to bootstrap this thing all the way to profitability?
The truth of it is, I would say no. I would say no, I don't think that it's possible to compete with those other early stage players. Three of my competitors already have raised $1.5 million. And that's just, you know, the truth that I'm faced with. And so understanding that, I do know that I am going to have to raise funds. I am going to have to knock on doors. That is just, you know, a fact to be able to grow and pour money into getting my market share. So yeah, it's only so long that I can bootstrap before I can, you know, grab a nice amount of the market, to be honest with myself.
Okay. And what is that process like? You know, how do you, so, you know, if someone's in your position right now, they are lucky enough, or they have a silver tongue like you do to convince a co-founder to work for them and they developed a product and they want to raise some money now. And they've been bootstrapping, you know, funds are running kind of low. You know, how do they get onto that next step? You know, where do you even go look for?
So before you go and look for investors, there's several things that you as a founder have to do. And most of it comes from having your things together, right? Whether it's just kind of like a pitch deck, projections, knowing your unit economics, like understanding what it takes to build and to grow and what it takes to and how much you can make from that. Those are like just knowing your numbers things. But then on the other side, you have to have some level of traction. And so, of course, we're always harder on ourselves, right? So for me, that meant like multiple properties, using the software, giving feedback. But in actuality, traction is just being able to have some type of connection with your user, whether it's a survey, whether it's a you know, one of the really good ones that always comes across my lap is having a buy button, right? And so like having people click on that buy button and say, look, there's interest there. And so we have to set those type of kind of like A/B testing up to be able to then go and say, hey, now I need your money, whether it's an angel investor, which generally write, you know, smaller checks, maybe anywhere from 10 to maybe 250K, or to venture capitalists, which of course will put you more in that 500,000 to a few million dollar range. But doing that, of course, it means you're giving up some of your company, you're giving up some power, and you have to jump through several hoops to even, you know, get that door open.
Well, from what I've heard, and what you read in the industry, it's a lot more than seven hoops, for mm-hmm. sure. You know,
that was just me being nice. Absolutely.
Right. You know, this is about giving people, you know, the real scoop of how hard I would say it is, but how rewarding it is as well. Obviously, you know, it's a lot of work. It mm-hmm. sounds like you're deep in the trenches right now, you know, and, I would say, what are some of the benefits so far? I know that everybody thinks that, you know, once you start a company, you know, if you go on Instagram, you'd be sipping, you know, pina coladas whilst the money just piles up in your bank account. So yeah. you've managed to take that step, and that huge step is you're full time on your startup. Mm-hmm. You know, what are some of the upsides so far?
So let's just be very clear. This is still early. It's only like, I've only been almost like 2 months full time.
So no mojitos?
I'm sorry?
No mojitos yet?
No mojitos. I'm far from it. So I was working nights. And one advantage I had about working nights, I would literally take my laptop to work with me, right? And I'll knock out the work because I was working at a hotel. I'll knock out my work and then I'll be doing my CRH work. And so that helped me. But now going full time and being full time, it's so many time management is like, I have a bit of a procrastination spirit. And so I had to fight that and get that in order because you'll lose track of time. You are the only person. So if you don't get it done, it won't get done. And so being able to understand and prioritize, what needs to be done, how long you should be spending on something, or if something can be outsourced, which of course costs money if you want it done properly. But those are some of the decisions that you have to make when it comes to being a full-time entrepreneur and kind of just have a clear direction and making sure that you're moving in that direction. Because distractions will happen and shiny objects will come your way. And before you know it, a few weeks will go by and you realize that you weren't moving in the right direction.
So it's funny that you say shiny objects. I was literally about to ask you about that. Because I know for me in building Gritly so far, I've had, you know, so many different shiny objects that have come around. And if you're not sure what a shiny object is, essentially when you start building a product or a startup, once you're in that mode, you get a lot of other great ideas, whether they complement your product or they move in another direction, and they all seem great. And, you know, you have to sort of ignore that. So what I've done is I've created a folder on my computer called Shiny Objects, and mm-hmm. it's just filled with ideas. And every time I go back, you know, 2-3 weeks afterwards and read some of the stuff that I have done, I'm like, oh my God, that was a horrible idea. You know, so I think it's really up to the founder to say, you know what, I'm going to just not do that. No, you know, it doesn't matter how great it sounds, how easy it sounds, you know, I'm just not going to do it. And, you know, you talk about time management, right? So at this point, you are PR, right? You're marketing, mm-hmm. you're business development, you are a copywriter, you are mm-hmm. a social media manager. Mm-hmm. You know, how do you plan all that? You know, I mean, like, I mean, it doesn't make sense. You know, why would anyone want to do that? You know, and if you are doing it, how do you do that? Like, it's
just, so
how do you magically develop all the skills to be able to do that? Because that's just nuts.
So, what I have been attempting to do for a while is create a schedule, right? Like, so a weekly schedule. And it's not, I'm not a routine person at all in a sense of like, I have to do this by 12, I have to do this by 1. I'm not that person. But creating a schedule will allow me to say social media is on Monday, so create your content for social media. Tuesdays is when you make all the calls. Thursdays when you respond to email. You know, like whatever those tasks are that need to be done, I think creating a schedule can help you outline and understand and show that you're actually moving, right? Like you're actually doing things. But developing the skills to even have the confidence to do half of these things comes from, I keep a close eye, of course, on my competitors. That's just a given, like you have to understand. And then I now, and it's so funny because I am totally a founder, because anything I see happening, whether it's a corporate side or someone tells me about an incident, I put my, well, this is why I can see that they're doing that, because from a company standpoint, you know, so my thought process is very different now. And so anything that I put time into or come across and I find that I like it or love it, I'll screenshot it and then I'll make a note like why I like it or why I love it. And then I have folders in my phone like social media, marketing, you know, like, and these are literally just photo albums, but I do that because, as we said before, I'm one and all. And so I don't really know what I like unless I see it or I kind of can visualize it from another standpoint. And it doesn't have to be my competitors at all. It could just be a social media page that I think is really cool, or a commercial that I felt really connected to. And I'm like, oh, wow, that was really clever how they did that. And so then I start taking notes from like everywhere. My antennas are always on. My founder antennas are always on.
That is true. That is something that you definitely have to do as a founder, is because you don't have, you know, a creative team. Your creative team mm-hmm. is everybody else out there that's doing something interesting mm-hmm. that you can borrow. The key word is borrow and be inspired by, right?
Exactly.
And you know, so the founder journey is mentally taxing. I mean, that's the truth. You are you definitely go through your range of emotions every day. Mm-hmm. And mental health is a concern when doing something like this, because it's incredibly difficult to get started. Mm-hmm. It gets better over time and people learn to manage. But you know, what has that been for you? You know, how do you stay grounded? How do you stay level? You know, what activities or who do you talk to? I mean, do you have a therapist? You know, how do you keep everything together and not fall apart? Are you a crier? Because someone told me once, I was like, listen, if you want to be a founder, learn how to cry. And like, it really helps, dude. Like, I promise you, just learn how to cry and like just cry on demand and you feel really better about it. I promise you feel better about it. So I'm in the process of learning how to cry right now. And I think Steve Jobs was famous for being a crier. So that he's definitely onto something. He's a pretty clever guy. Or was a clever guy. RIP Jobs. You know, how do you keeping it together?
So one thing that I wasn't aware of, or maybe I was and I just was oblivious to, is me starting out as a founder not only affects me, it affects my entire circle. It affects my family and the way that I deal with people. And I'm not showing up as the same Samela that worked a job anymore. I'm showing up as a founder Samela. And so that in itself added limitations to my relationships, right? And so I'm huge on family. All of my family's in Chicago. And so I'm here by myself. So that gave me a little bit of a luxury, right? Because it's not as pressing. Like people are not just showing up to my house. Hey, let's go here. Let's do that. So that was a good thing. But it took me some time to be okay with saying no. I cannot go there. I cannot take this trip. Unfortunately, I can't do that. No, it's okay. It took me some time with even accepting my gift and standing in it wholeheartedly. And when I say my gift, I mean being blessed with the vision to bring my CRH to life. It took me some time to do that, especially when it comes from my family. But once I found that confidence, because some things, kind of how me and my co-founder were like across the street from each other, I had a few incidents where it kind of just happened, right? And so for me, those are like signs that I'm on the right track, right? When I'm not overly having to like kick doors down for certain things, of course, I'm going to have to do it for other things. But for certain things, if it just migrates to me and it just flows to me, the universe brings it to me, those are the little signs that I find appreciation in because it gives me the confidence to keep going. And so I look for those things. And my friends, they still invite me to places, even though they know I'm going to tell them no. But that's really cute of them because they understand what I'm doing and what it takes to get there, or kind of understand what it takes to get there. And so I keep a good circle, and I don't watch TV.
Well, I mean, I
will take so much of my time. I love TV. I love it.
Oh yeah. Okay.
But I would literally cancel plans. I would not do stuff. I won't be productive. So literally 3 weeks to a month can go by before I turn my TV on.
Well, I'm part of that camp. Okay. I don't own a TV.
Okay. Okay.
In the spot where you normally find a TV, I have a painting up there that says "Get to Work." which and it looks like a TV too, you know, it's got the borders and everything, but I'm not gonna advise people to do that. I think that if you do love TV, you should definitely watch mm-hmm. and find ways to relax. I just opt out of that completely. Mm-hmm. What's your biggest threat right now? You know, what would happen overnight that would completely wipe everything out? Do you know what that is? Are you comfortable saying what that is? When you lie in bed at night and go, huh, man, I hope this doesn't happen tomorrow. What is that?
That would be pushing my CTO too hard.
No, I'm done. I'm out.
Yes, it would literally be me driving him crazy, honestly. Because I'm full time, he doesn't have that luxury, and I fortunately don't have the luxury to pay him. So he's still working full time. And you know, programming and coding is a demanding position. And so I have to allow myself, while I can go crazy with thoughts and processes and overthink things, I have to make sure that I come to him with filtered information.
Right.
So that I don't add anything extra to his plate that's not a priority. And right. I've been a manager in the corporate world, and I understand that, but this is a different type of, you know, learning to manage. And, you know, so that can literally go from yay, my Sierra, to what are we doing? If he decided to just say, you know, Samela, this is not working for me anymore.
Right. So founders out there, don't push your co-founder or CTO too hard.
Yes.
They have to deal with you enough, and mm-hmm. they definitely have to filter all these ideas, these crazy ideas that come out. So be mm-hmm. careful with that one. So absolutely. Miami, so you're based out of Miami right now, and
that's correct.
The startup activity there is definitely on the rise. It's been recognized nationally now that Miami is becoming a hub. I know Amazon paid 2 visits to Miami, so it's definitely on the map. Mm-hmm. Do you think that has helped you to be in a market, you know, in a city where there's a lot of startup activity going on? You know, how does that benefit you?
So to be very transparent, Miami's on the map, but a lot of companies, they may not necessarily post it on their front page, but they're very focused on Latin America, Miami, right? And so it took me a while to understand that, right? So it was a little bit of a like a blowback, like, oh, okay, so you're talking about entrepreneurs, but you're not necessarily saying all of them, okay? So once I understood that, it went back to needing a network of people, because even just for boot camps or, you know, free opportunities, I had to know someone to get even in the room. And so While it seems from the surface that it's a lot of activity going on, it's a very who you know type of scene. And it's just now that I understand what it is, I can better play the game and be more versed at how to go about it. So yes, Miami's been great to me. I'm happy that I took the leap of faith to get here and that attention is being put on the startup scene, but it's still an uphill battle for me as a African-American female tech founder. It's still very much, making my presence be known without asking.
Without asking, for sure. A lot of the literature out there would want to tell you that, startups are a meritocracy where, hey, if you have a great idea and a vision and you have a product, sky's the limit. But, that's not true, right? It's definitely still a warm introduction game. It's definitely still a, who you know game, even when you're raising money. And you see that as well, because sometimes you see some startups and you're just like, you raised how much for that, So where do you go from there? Once you know that that exists and, resources might be a little scarce and, you have this uphill battle as well. How do you manage that? How do you solve that problem?
So the first thing I learned very early on while coming on the Miami tech scene was that regardless of how good me, Samela, anyone that looks like Samela, idea is you just simply have to be better. There is no okay. You don't have space to be okay. And you don't have the privilege to be okay. So first off, having something that is great is like the main point of it. But then I like to stay very well educated on what's happening, who's the movers, who's the shakers. So for multiple reasons, but the main one is to understand what's happening and who's doing it. And so now I can go and knock on those doors and ask for those opportunities. And so half of the time, to be totally honest, it is about asking. I send emails and some people will literally just ignore it. And I don't think it's anything personal. It's just they're busy, whatever. But then I've knocked on some doors and people, oh, absolutely. I'll be happy to help. What can I do? Or, so it's just making sure that you're using your efforts in the right direction, I would say, versus, not being aware at all, not even knowing that there's a such thing. And now you spent a year chasing something and you had no idea that you were never even going to get into because you weren't coming heavily referred.
Right. So one thing that is very important, I think, that to all aspiring founders is that you are probably not going to start with all the resources that you need. When you start off, you'll be lucky if you even know what you need, right? I think the more important thing is to be resourceful, right? You have to know how to be resourceful. And you can't not be a founder without being resourceful. Yeah. Is that something that comes natural to you? And is that the greatest skill that you have naturally as well? Or are there other things as well? Can you sell? Can you market? What's that innate skill that you possess that you think that, is because you have that, you can do anything. Essentially, what's your superpower?
I would have to say I was gifted with a personality, right? Like a presence, being able to show up and actually showing up, right? Not like being the person that hides in the corner or very quietly have a presence. So that's something that I was gifted with very early on. But being resourceful has absolutely been one of my factors that has opened up doors that I didn't even know existed. For example, the Innovate Miami feature, the two-page spread, that was because I was at an event. So not only do I know that these events are happening, I have enough confidence to show up, not knowing one person in the room. You know what? I'm going to show up. Let's see what it's about. Now that I'm here, I'm going to talk to people. I'm going to get business cards. I'm going to actually follow up with these business cards. And so taking those steps and kind of moving yourself out of your comfort zone and taking the risk. It's okay for you to tell me no, no problem. You don't owe me anything. But if I don't come up and ask you, only thing I can assume is that you're going to tell me no. But if I ask you, now I actually know what it is. And so I can move on to the next person who may be willing to help, who may be willing to open up a door. And so half of the time it's really just showing up and taking advantage of the opportunities and being in the moment.
So the key thing there, I would say that I get from what you're saying is that part of it is creating your own opportunities and putting mm-hmm. yourself in the space to be lucky, right? A lot of people talk about luck. You know, luck doesn't mm-hmm. find you in your apartment watching TV. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. you put yourself in the position where you're out there, you know, knocking on doors until you get lucky. Mm-hmm. So let's go, you know, 2 years ago when you started off, if you could go back and give that Samela some advice right now, you know, what would you say to that version of yourself?
I would have...
Say, don't do it. Don't do it. Just don't continue on working, man. This is not for you.
It's not something that I would say don't do. That I would say do go after. And it okay. would have been, I would have educated myself more on what it means to market. So like what is required, kind of like the MVP concept. Okay, so I only need to have this minimum viable product to go start knocking on doors. Whereas I created a full product and then start knocking on doors. So I would have been a little bit more market savvy, educated myself there. And I would have started knocking on doors sooner. But the fear of knowing what was up against me, although it wasn't my story, I've only heard the stories of how hard it is and the difficulty. It wasn't my story. I carried that fear with me. And I would not carry that fear with me. If I could go back and tell Samela, hey, don't be scared to just go ahead and jump out there and educate yourself on marketing along the way. I was always focused on product, not knowing that who's going to sell this product once it's built.
Yeah, product is always the fun part. You know, that's one of the exciting things as well to do. I think as a founder, especially when you're in this. But, you know, you talk about MVP process. I think that a lot of aspiring founders, you know, have to follow that MVP process to the T because it just eliminates so much risk early on. Mm-hmm. But in your case, you built the full product out and you learn along the way. And I think that I've seen a lot of founders, you know, fall into that trap of building a full product and then realize, oh, you know, oh, crap, this should have been the MVP. So, mm-hmm. but I think that every founder's journey is going to be different, right? You might find mm-hmm. someone who knows about the MVP process, but does something completely different. So I think that one of the key learnings there is just that, you know, just do something, you know, like eventually mm-hmm. it'll come mm-hmm. together. But, you know, so I think that, you know, just getting into the mindset of just being okay with failure. So, you know, 5 years from now, you know, where am I seeing my Sierras? You know, are we IPO? Are we acquisitioning? You know, someone going to buy you out? You know, what is the company 5 years from now?
So I have different glimpses of where we would be in my head. But what I do realize is that I do love the founder journey. I do get several ideas. I have that same like idea folder that you mentioned earlier, you know,
overflowing with stuff,
with new ventures that I can go after. But the hospitality and tourism space is very near and dear to me. So, I feel like I would still be in that neighborhood of like creating experiences. To what level? Great question. But creating experiences is something that is near and dear to me. But my Sierge, I could potentially see myself selling it, and pouring it into another, more a thing that will help me create more of a generational wealth. Because that is a goal of mine, to be able to have something that I can pass down in the family. And so, whether it be my Sierge or the next baby, I would say, because I call this my baby. So I don't know. I guess with time, I'll see. But acquisition is not, I'm not opposed to being acquired. And I can see so much potential with my Sierge as well. Like, we can move into the residential space, loyalty programs. It's so many areas that we can kind of like mm-hmm. blossom into. So who knows? I guess 5 years from now, the answer will be evident, huh?
Yeah. I mean, what I'm understanding about, I would say the founder entrepreneur journey is that it's somewhat of a sort of a modern day pilgrimage, right? In the sense mm-hmm. that you end up learning so much about yourself. You end up learning, you know, your weaknesses, your strengths, your fears, you know, and is that something that you've experienced? Do you feel, because I know when I talk to a lot of founders, I just get the sense that this is someone that, you know, they could be at the start of their journey for sure, you know, a year, 2 years in, but they just seem so in tune with themselves, right? They understand what they know, they understand what they don't know, you know, and they understand themselves a little bit more than if they weren't a founder. Is that something that you've experienced?
Absolutely. This has taught me so much about my, what I thought was my management style coming from corporate, you know, and then now here in, even though it's just a team of two, but being able to communicate, understanding what's important and prioritizing, it showed me the things that I'm not the best at, you know, as I mentioned before, which is marketing. It took me some time to get rid of that procrastination spirit, which still lingers every now and again. so absolutely, my CRH has done works for me in terms of my growth, and showing me how resourceful I am and, you know, my personality. So it's been nothing short of amazing. Of course, it's hard, but I always say anything worth having is worth working for. So yeah, that is my fact. Yes, I've learned so much more about myself along this journey.
Well, this is an amazing journey. And I think that I will definitely be following you on this journey as well, rooting for you. But for anyone out there who wants to find out more about MyCierge, where can they go? And, you know, if someone wants to reach out to you personally as well, I mean, you're a black woman founder in technology. And I think that, you know, there's a lot of people out there that could benefit from just knowing you and, you know, reaching out to you. They might have questions. You know, how can they do that?
Absolutely. So I am on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram. So my Instagram page, I have one for MyCRH, which is MyCRH app, all one word. And then my actual personal Instagram page is open as well, because I think it's important to see that I am a normal person. I live a normal life. and so that's going to be Samella Watson. So Samella Watson. You can find me there. And then for Facebook, I also have both a personal page as well as a MyCRH page. And MyCRH is also going to be MyCIERGE. I can be found there. You know, and I respond to all DMs on any platform, private messages, you know, you can definitely find me. I'm not hard to locate at all.
All right. Well, hopefully founders can reach out to you and some investors can reach out to you as well. So it's been amazing talking to you. You are definitely onto something. You know, I hope it works out. We'll be in touch. And yeah, thank you for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. I truly appreciate what you're doing for the founder community, especially the Black founder community. And I'm just excited to help in any way that I can and help move us forward and connect us more. So absolutely, please, let's stay in contact. And again, any founders that's interested in learning more or that even has advice for me, I'm open to learning more as well. Please contact me. I'll be happy to connect.
All right. Well, that wraps it up. And we'll be in touch. Thank you.
Have a great day.
You as well. Bye-bye.